What book of the Bible are you looking at the moment? Yes, Joe. 1 John. Just first at the moment. Excellent. That's a good place to start. Adults, what book are you looking at in the Bible? Please tell me you know. Ecclesiastes, yes. Thanks for the hint. I wanted you to get it without the hint. I hope you know. Okay, so if you can turn in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, because what I want to do this morning is I want to try and show the young people what we're looking at in the Bible. And I think I can tie in what you're looking at in the Bible with it. So we're looking at the book of Ecclesiastes. So can you turn in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes? Who knows where it is? What book's it after? Because I always can't find it. It's hidden away. No. What book's it after? It's after Proverbs. What book's it before? Excellent. It's before and after Proverbs. It can't be before and after. Okay, good. So, the book of Ecclesiastes was written by a guy who many people think was King Solomon, but it was a teacher, written by a teacher. And there was a time when King Solomon was asked by God for anything that he wants. Now, I want you to put yourself in that position, okay? Imagine God said to you, you can have anything that you want. And don't shout out, but just think in your head what you would ask for. You can have anything you want. Yes. That's pretty cool, actually. Roller coaster in the back garden. Jacob? PlayStation. What? PlayStation 27, whatever the latest version is. PlayStation 38, I don't know what it is. Micah. Wow, you don't ask for much. Noah. An underground chocolate factory. Wow. Yes, Jilo. Wow, that's a really nice one. Okay, we've gone from like chocolate factory to salvation in one fell swoop. That was. Okay, good. Right, so basically, God asked this guy Solomon what he wanted, and he asked what I just asked you. You can have whatever you wanted. And he said, I want wisdom. I want wisdom. And so God said, okay, you're going to be the wisest person ever. There's not going to be anyone before you who is wiser than you. There's not going to be anyone after who was wiser from you, wiser than you. And he was wise because God gave him wisdom. And this guy Solomon, right, had everything that you could ever want in the world. He had, if he lived today, he would have an underground chocolate factory. Right? If he lived today, he would have gone on holiday with Christiana, whatever his name is. If he lived today, he would have PlayStation 28. Right. He would have all this stuff because he was the richest guy in the world. He had wisdom. He was the wisest guy in the world. He had pleasure. He had achievements. He was the king. And he had amazing relationships with people. So if you turn in Ecclesiastes to chapter 2, this is what this king who had everything says. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you, test his heart, with pleasure. So I'm going to try and test my heart with pleasure. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm just going to enjoy myself. But behold, this was also vanity. Like, we'll talk more about vanity in a minute, but he says that was just vanity. I said of laughter, it's mad. So he tried to have fun. He tried to have pleasure. He tried to have a lot of laughs. It is mad. And of pleasure, what use is it? I searched my heart with how to cheer my body with wine. So he said, maybe drink's the answer. But my heart still guided me with wisdom and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the children of man to do under heaven during the few days of their life. So I looked at getting more wise. I looked at being stupid. He's trying everything, isn't he? He's trying to do everything. Verse 4, I made great works. So he builds loads of stuff. I built houses, planted vineyards. I made gardens. So he tried gardening. So he tried being a builder. He tried being a gardener. He planted them in all kinds of fruit. What? And planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools. He tried swimming. He's trying everything, isn't he? From which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves. He wanted to be like a master, a leader. I had slaves who were born in my house. So he even tried making his kids his slaves. What? That's a good idea, actually. You want to try that one? Hold on a second. I said my kids. Why did you all say no? You're not all my kids. Right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough. Okay, I also gather for myself silver and gold. So what's he trying to do there? Rich, money. I'm going to see if money makes me happy. I'm going to test my heart and see if that makes it happy. I got singers. He got singers in to try and make him happy, right? Both men and women, just in case, like, the women were better singers than the men. And many concubines. He had many partners. And delight of the children of man. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem, and my wisdom remained with me. Listen to this, verse 10. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. Wow. So whatever he saw, if he liked it, he had it. Imagine that. Right, you go to the shop, or you flick through the Argos catalogue, and anything you see, you can have. That was what Solomon did. Anything he liked, what he saw, he had. So listen. This was a guy who had everything. He had everything. So what's his conclusion? He's the wisest guy in the world, right? Listen, he's the wisest guy in the world, and he's got everything in the world, pretty much. What is his conclusion? Like, what do you think, if you could sum up what he thinks about life in one sentence, what do you think he would say? The wisest, richest man in the whole universe. I've got it all. What? I'm living the life. I'm living the dream. I'm loving life. You think that's what he'd say? I've got everything. I'm loving life. I'm loving it. Alan. So, this is what he says. Look at verse 11. I considered all my hands had done, and all the toil I'd expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind. In other words, it's all meaningless. Let that sink in a minute. You have to let that sink in. He was the wisest guy in the world. He had everything in the world. And the conclusion he came to was, it's all like the wind. It's all vanity. It's all meaningless. All that stuff is meaningless. When Andy spoke last week, he talked about vanity being like looking in the mirror and putting some makeup on. So I've got a like really short video that I'd like to play now to illustrate this kind of vanity concept. That basically sums up vanity. What was that phrase that it said just then? No wonder our perception of beauty is distorted. It means that everything that this world says is beautiful is actually like fake. It's just going to disappear. What you see isn't what you get. Another word that this vanity means is like vapor. You know, like when you heat a bowl or a pot of hot water and it boils and there's steam coming off? Have you ever tried to catch the steam? Don't do it because you'll burn your hand. But don't do it because you can't catch it. 1 minute it's gone, and then 1 minute it's there, and then the next minute it's gone. That's what this wise person is saying, that all that stuff is like. All the money in the world is like a mist. All the beauty in this world is just fake. All of it is just vanity, like chasing after the wind. I want to give you an example, right? I went out walking this weekend in the Lake District, and we set up camp in this place called Black Sail Pass. Yeah, it doesn't matter, but I went walking and the wind was coming in one direction. So I set up my shelter to protect me from the wind and I went to sleep. And I woke up halfway through the night because the wind had changed 180 degrees and now it was literally blowing into my shelter and like almost blowing me off the side of the mountain. I tried to chase the wind, but you can't. You'll never catch it. If you're trying to find satisfaction in all that stuff, you'll never get there. You'll never reach it. You'll never attain. Why? Why won't you? Can someone answer that question? Why won't you? Why won't you find satisfaction in that stuff? Nearly, because you can get some of it, can't you? But you're nearly there. There's one more word. You can't get... Nearly, you can't get what? You can't get enough. Because when you get the thing that you think you want, the thing you need, it's not enough. You need the next thing. Classic example, right? We used to have a small TV. It used to be about this big, okay, and it broke. And so we graciously got given a massive TV. It's like 32 inch. And when I first put that TV in my room, is that small? Like, no, is that, oh, yeah. When we put that in our, is it 32 inches, Naomi? Is it? It's about that. Anyway, it's pretty big. We put it in our room, and compared to the little one we used to have in there, it looked massive. I thought I had like the Cinemax cinema from Cardiff in my house. I was like, this is ridiculous. It looks stupid. It looks stupid. It's so big. Do you know how long it took until I looked at it and I thought, that's quite small, that is. That, I think I need a bigger TV. How long do you think it took? About a week. And then I needed the next version. I needed the bigger thing because I'd got used to that size now. I needed the bigger one. What about like iPhones? Why do you think there's like an iPhone 5, iPhone 6, iPhone 7, iPhone... Do you think, right, someone goes to the shop, buys an iPhone 5, thinking, this is my last one? They're almost buying it because they know they're going to have to get the 6. So they're just getting used to the 5, right? What about computers? And I'm so glad you guys said that. What about the PlayStation? PlayStation 1. PlayStation 2. PlayStation 48, right? And they were doing this when I was a kid, the Nintendo Entertainment System, the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, the Super Famicom. And it just kept on building and building and building. What's it on now? Xbox. Wait, what's it on? Yeah, 2DS. Hold on. Is there another one? 3DS, that's the one. Yeah, I wonder what the next one's going to be. What's that? Switch, the Nintendo Switch. And unless you have it, like, you're not there. Like, there's something missing. I need that. I need that Switch. And you get it in your head that you need this. And the point is that you're never satisfied. You're never satisfied. Please tell me what that shows in us as humans. Someone please tell me what that shows. It shows there's something missing. It shows there's something missing, doesn't it? Of course it does. If you're going after all that stuff, and listen, you can replace computers with houses. You can replace iPhones with relationships. You can replace, like, Nintendo Entertainment Systems with money. It's all interchangeable. It's all stuff. It's whatever you want to call it. Okay, you can never get enough because it's showing that there's something deep within us that we're trying to satisfy. We're trying to be complete. We're trying to attain. There's something missing. And King Solomon tried everything under the sun. Everything under the sun. And he said, I can't fill up what's missing. It's meaningless. And the world that we live in knows that. It knows that there's something lacking in us. So it tries so hard to tell you what it thinks you need to fill it. And, like, grown-ups, you're going to have had this before. And younger people, you're going to get this. So please listen in. Please, this is so important, right? The world is going to tell you that to be complete, you need a certain job. The world is going to tell you that to be complete, you need a certain amount of money. The world is going to tell you that to be complete, you're not going to need a certain type of house. The world is going to tell you for you to be complete, you're going to need to be like a footballer. You're going to need to be a musician. You're going to need to be this. You're going to need to be that. The world is going to tell you that you're going to need to be beautiful. That's what you're going to hear from this world. And grown-ups, that's what you hear. You need this. This is what advertising is based around. You need this. You need that. You're not going to be complete until you have this. You're not going to be complete until you move to this place. Then you'll be happy. You're not going to be complete until you reach this level, and then you'll be happy. Please listen to the words of the wisest man who ever lived. That is meaningless. That is meaningless. You cannot be satisfied with that stuff. You have to let the Bible tell you how you can be satisfied. All of that stuff is just like chasing the wind. So what actually is missing? What actually is missing? Why are we not complete? Why are we constantly searching for this other stuff? We don't have life. Yeah. The main problem is that we're not connected to God. We're not connected to the God of the Bible, Father, Son, and Spirit. Naturally, we're disconnected from God. And God made us to be connected to Him. God made us to be in relationship with Him. But instead, we've gone after all this other stuff, haven't we? Instead of wanting to put God first, we put, like, all of the other stuff first. And, like, okay, younger people, you might put stuff like computers first, and you might put stuff like playing football first or sports first. But you know what? As grown-ups, we do that too. We put stuff like money first and houses first and jobs first. We do that too. And we put stuff in place of God. And by doing that, we're disconnected from God. And the crazy thing is that no matter how much of that stuff we get, it doesn't satisfy us. We try all of those ways to fix this hole, and we just can't do it. And do you know why that stuff will never fix the major problem? It's because the major problem is there's a huge barrier in the way of us and God. And the Bible calls that sin. And you could basically like summarize sin as putting anything in place of God. Going after all that stuff instead of God. And that barrier in the way can't be taken out of the way by getting more stuff. It can't be taken out of the way by doing more things. It can't be taken out of the way by you at all. The only way that that barrier could be taken down was by God. And do you know how God took that barrier down? That was an excellent answer, I think. What was that? Yeah. The only way that that barrier could be taken down was by Jesus dying for it. God couldn't take it down by giving you more stuff. You can't take it down by doing more stuff. You can't take it down by getting rich. You can't take it down by being poor. You can't take it down by being wise. You can't take it down by being foolish. You can't take it down with anything. That's why God had to send his son to die for it. And on the cross, that barrier in the way, all that sin was placed on Christ. And he died for it. And he tore that barrier down when he died. When he died, he ripped that barrier down between us and God so that you can come back into connection with him. And listen to this. Listen. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that you are complete in Christ. If you have been connected back to God in Jesus, you are complete, lacking nothing. I've asked you this before, but I'm going to ask you this again. Do you believe that in Jesus, you have everything you need? If you do have everything you need in Jesus, do you need to go after any of that other stuff? No. Why don't you need to? Because you're already complete. And this ties into what Paul was saying in Philippians. Whatever situation I'm in, whether I'm abounding in wealth or whether I'm in jail, I have learned to be completely content. How could he say that? Because in Jesus, he has everything he needs. In Jesus, he has everything he needs. So listen, while the world is going to shout at you, you need this, you need this job, you need to put this makeup on, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to listen to God this morning who says this, and adults, you need Jesus. That's who you need. You don't need anything else except Jesus. You need Jesus. You don't need anything else. I'm going to say it again. You don't need anything else. You need Jesus. In Christ, you are complete, lacking nothing. And so if you're not a Christian, how do you become a Christian? If you are a Christian, how did you become a Christian? You believe that he died on the cross and that he forgave your sins. You believe that he died on the cross for you. So it was for you to forgive you. Surely it isn't that simple. Surely it can't be that simple. Surely I have to do something. Don't I get to do anything in this? No. So all I have to do is believe that Jesus died for me and I'll be saved. Amen. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For by grace you're saved through faith. That not of yourselves is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's a free gift of God that you receive by faith. And the awesome thing is, all you have to do is believe that Jesus died for your sins and you will be complete in him. Just think of that. You're spending all this money on stuff that you think is going to do the job, and there's this free gift over here that will do the job. It's incredible, isn't it? And all you must do is believe in Christ. And that's why at the end of this book of Ecclesiastes, this wise guy says this. The end of the matter. All has been heard. You can kind of hear him, can't you? I've laid it all out for you. I've been there and I've done it. And I'm going to save you the trouble. The end of the matter is this. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. What does it mean to fear God? I was really praying for a way to convey this to you. What does it mean to fear God? And this is the conclusion I came to. Take God seriously. Take God seriously. Right? You know when you're kind of messing around and your mum or dad say this to you? Look at me. I'm serious. Have you ever had that? Look at me. I'm serious. And then you go, no, no, you're not. No, look at me. I'm serious. No, you're not, Dad. You're still here. No, look at me. I'm serious. And then at some point, the penny drops, and it's like, yeah, he is actually serious. In a world that is saying so much rubbish to you, God is screaming, look at me. I'm serious. This is a serious matter here. All that stuff won't do it. That's why I sent my son. You need to trust in him. He is all you need. He is all you need. Listen, I'm serious. Fear God and keep his commandments. So, hold on a minute, James. You just told me that Christianity isn't about doing all these rules and this stuff. But now you're saying, fear God and keep his commandments. So what is God's first commandment? Well, let's have a look in the book that you guys are looking at. 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. Listen to this. Fear God, listen, I'm serious, and keep his commandments. Listen, I'm serious, what's my commandment? And this is his commandment. This is John speaking. This is God's commandment. That we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. That's it. Fear God, keep his commandments. Listen, I'm serious. Believe in the name of Jesus. All that stuff won't satisfy. Listen, I'm serious. Look to Jesus. He's all you need. Put your trust in him. If you haven't done that this morning, please do it. Please. Why would you not? And if you have done it, stop chasing after the wind, because you've got all you need in Jesus. If you've got Jesus, you've got everything. I'm going to pray now, and then we're going to come to the communion table. And there's one thing that I want you to remember if you come to this table. This table is for people who've trusted in Christ. If you haven't trusted in Christ, you can right now, and you can come to this table. But as you come to this table, I just want you to have this thought in your head. I am complete in Jesus. His blood was spilled to make me perfectly clean, and his body was broken to make me perfectly whole. That's what I want you to be thinking. I want you to be thinking, in Christ I'm perfect, in Christ I'm complete, in Christ I'm lacking nothing. That's what I want you to be thinking this morning. So I'll pray, and then feel free to come up and have some, and then Simon's just going to play, and we'll sing to finish. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for sending your son. He's so beautiful. He's everything that we need. And thank you that you haven't left us scrabbling around in the darkness, trying to fix ourselves, but you've said, here's the solution. My son Jesus is everything you need. I pray this morning that we would know, that we would know, that we would know that if we are in Christ, we are complete, lacking nothing. Lord, I just want to put my hands up and say that the wind of this world tempts me, that I go after that stuff sometimes. And I'm sorry, because Jesus is everything I need. And I pray that if at this moment we're just getting drawn to that stuff, like our hearts are just getting drawn to that stuff, you will pull us back with your cords of love and just say to us again, Jesus is all you need. Jesus is all you need. Be content, be complete in him. I really pray, Lord, that as we come to the table now, you'll just minister that to us. Jesus is all you need. Trust in him. Thank you, God, so much for who you are. Thank you that you're so, so loving, so caring. But help us to hear you. You also say, listen, I'm serious. Come to me. In Jesus' precious name, amen.